Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us on postwrestling.com or whatever podcast app you are listening to. And of course,
we are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, YouTube room. How are we doing?
Hello, YouTubers. Hello, Poison Pals. Hello, NXT friends.
Friends.
It's Tuesday night. We just watched NXT, and we are going to talk all about it here on this little ditty called Up Next. And it's Tuesday night. We're going to chat about everything going on. How you doing?
We're on the road to spring breakin'.
It's just spring breakin'
season.
2 weeks
so good. It's spring break twice.
Wasn't like real spring break like a month ago? Did they do this before?
I feel like we've had Vengeance Day in January and New Year's Evil in February and stuff like that, I think. It is what it is.
And Beach Break in the... Oh, wait, that was the other show. Yeah. So Spring Break-In is a two-week upcoming thing. So night one next week and then after that, another night. So two weeks of Spring Break-In in April. So for those who... Maybe you didn't get to celebrate Spring Break, now's your time in 2 weeks. Two separate weeks of spring break. So we want to hear from you. Maybe we'll get our spring break in on, get some Hawaiian shirts on.
Yeah, I think so.
Get a beer bong. Okay. What else do you do for spring break?
What is it? A keg stand? Yeah.
I actually, there was a great, the reason I know spring break was like a few weeks ago was because there was a huge news thing about like the, I don't think it was Miami, but a specific town that was known for like this beach. They basically went, nah, shutting down at 8.
Oh, yeah.
They just went, nope, not today. And they had commercials that were like, sorry, like, beach is closed. Like, no longer spring break.
People were like disrespecting it, fucking it up too much.
Yeah, somewhere in Florida, but yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah, I did see that.
So, spring break in NXT, we need respectable and responsible spring break.
Absolutely. And it looks like a responsible and respectable card, I think.
Yeah, so far.
Spring break in,
and we'll definitely get into that. So, how you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Yeah. Just been working. Not much really to report. Kind of the come down from Philadelphia. The Jays are in town, so got I think it's been Jays and Yankees the last couple of days, so had a lot of New Yorkers in the bar. It's been good.
Yeah, the Jays are back in Toronto and it feels like there's so many people going to, we live right beside it, which is like, it gets a little hectic and chaotic around here. But we also live right beside the CN Tower in downtown Toronto. Legit, we live right beside it, so we won't have much of a walk to get to our climb. And it's all about the climb, the WWF climb, which is this weekend here in Toronto. It's all for the World Wildlife Foundation. Foundation. I messed that one up. Well, get the F in because we're going to be climbing the CN Tower and all the little bit helps. So please donate. I realized, I think I did this last year where I was like, oh, sick. Everyone, please donate. And people are like, sick. You need to still share your own link.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only realized that now.
I'm looking at, and John Pollock is like way, way ahead.
I think I've just been sharing.
I've got a few donations that have gone in not through my link as well.
Right.
So, come on. Help. We can't let John be.
I have nothing on mine because I've just been sharing.
You're losing.
I've just been sharing the main. I didn't realize that it was personalized links. I'm like, oh, man. So,
yeah, come on. Do you not care about the pandas, Braden?
Oh, I definitely do. I definitely care about all the animals. So even the shit ones.
But yeah, we're climbing the tower. We've been training. I've been giving you wall squats to do that you just decided to do in a pub the other day, and the bartender was very confused.
He loved it.
Yeah. He was like, what are you doing?
Okay, well, first pull it back because I go, hey, do we want to hang out with Steph Chase is still in town? Shout out, Steph. And we were going to have like a bit of a bevy on Sunday evening. And then you brought up like, well, there is the Artful Dodger, which has the Sunday night roast. We could go there. And I was like, oh, all right. Yeah, cool. And then we get there. By the time we got there, we had pit stopped at a few other bars. Mm-hmm. And then you asked the server like, hey, is this still a thing? Like it was some secret code. And he was like, oh, he wasn't even English, but I feel like he went, oh, blimey. And then like went, hold on. And then went to the chef. And then he made us what? A whole English
prime rib, Yorkshire puddings.
Horseradish.
Potatoes. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah. So then, and then it was probably before eating this, I would imagine, because I wouldn't want to do this. We were talking about the climb and you, I can't do quite, what is it? Like the straight standing ones, like you see the wrestlers do, but you going against the wall and doing these squats.
Yeah, wall squats. So yeah. Like sitting against the wall, you build up your quads.
Yeah.
And yeah, cause we're going to need them. On Sunday morning.
So please donate because mine could potentially blow up like Triple H.
We had a great day yesterday of donations. Our original goal was 750. We smashed that yesterday. We raised the bar and made it $1,500, which we also smashed. We're at 1,651 so far. I believe last year we raised just over 1,700. Our goal now is $3,000. So every little helps, guys. You know, we see a panda. We just want to save them. So like, help us out.
This saves, think of wherever you are on this earth. Maybe there's animals and they need saving. You know, we have raccoons. They need saving. Maybe you're like Dickie in Australia. Snakes, they need saving.
They need saving.
Like, fuck them, but they still need saving.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but the only ones that could get in the bin are the fucking wasps and they don't count.
So how confident are you feeling?
Not as confident as last year.
No.
But as discussed on a show prior this Sunday, we just did a show and I mentioned that I'm going to be taking your what is this
some pre-workout
mix that like hopefully gets me into next gear. I'm gonna take my
it's cocaine.
No, it's what flavor? Fruit punch. So yeah. I just mix it with water and drink it. All right,
like hurricane
shots.
Yeah,
at 9 a.m. on Sunday after 4:20, the 4:21.
You're just gonna be like sprinting up there, and John Wayne gonna be like, "What the fuck?"
Okay, so my plan is shout out to all my people out there with asthma. Mm-hmm. And smokers. And so last year I explained this on another show, but I used my blue inhaler. So this year I plan on properly, like what you're supposed to do is like, if you're going to have a day full of activity and sports or whatever, you're supposed to take this. And I feel confident with taking my purple inhaler and then plus your pre-workout, AKA fruit punch powder, whatever it is. Hopefully that is like enough to get me at 9:30 in the morning. Up that tower to save the animals.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I just die. I don't know.
We'll see.
Like the worst was last year we did it and people were like legit puking going up this thing. And there's no windows in this long shaft. Just wanted to say that again. And you kind of feel like you're just going up and up and up and up and like it can get to you. Right. And like you had a great time last year. 18 something.
18, 20.
You're going to crush it this year.
I hope so.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm as fit as I was a year ago. We'll see.
Just take that fruit punch.
Yeah. Which I didn't do last year, I don't think.
Okay.
So I did have a coffee beforehand. But
right.
Yeah.
So we're ready and then we get to celebrate after. We'll get some
hoping
brunch.
The weather's nice again. Last year was a pretty beautiful day. Like we went for drinks outside and stuff. So
our friends Jesse and Sam are joining us as well. Scorpio Sam, Jesse from the Six.
And then we've got Dynasty.
Yeah.
Evening. So gonna be a great day.
Yeah, we're
I'll probably pass out halfway through it.
Yeah, that's definitely a potential. I'm sure it'll be a long show, but it looks like a great show. We just went through predictions and previews for that. Amongst other things, search Poison Rana in your podcast app because we have a show. We go live every Sunday. Well, we won't be going live this Sunday because we're doing the climb and we will be watching Dynasty, but we just did a show previewing that and talking about the Raw after Mania, SmackDown after Mania, and everything from the CCTV footage of CM Punk and Jack Perry and the Young Bucks and all that jazz. So we spent a long time dissecting that and giving some thoughts on all that as well. So if you like what you hear on Up Next, search Poison Rana. We're on YouTube as well. Give us a little follow and at Poison Rana Pod on Twitter X while you're at it to support your boys. And you can support your boys even further because we're going to be recording a show tomorrow. We were going to do this before our trip to Philly, but it made even more sense to wait because now we can watch the Hall of Fame speech from Paul Heyman. And we're going to be chatting a Poison Profile podcast covering the career of Paul Heyman from beginning to end. So that's going to be a show dropping on our Patreon patreon.com/poisonrana. Get that show $5 and you get hundreds of other shows.
Absolutely.
There. So,
on the free feed, we uploaded two shows last week, as well as Poison Rana, including Eagles Don't Hunt Flies, where Dickie Bird, Martin Bushby, and Brandon from New Jersey are talking about three selected death matches from the career of John Moxley, as well as a brand new What Up Doe with B Detroit and John Cena talking about their trip to Philadelphia and WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, it's been super awesome to hear, like, Brandon and Dickie kind of, I mean, he definitely seemed like he was beat up from that trip, but hearing their perspective, Martin as well, watching from at home, and then listening to What Up Doe with Cena and B chatting theirs as well. So lots of different ears and stories from last week and all sorts of things. But the John Moxley mixtape was pretty funny because they recorded the day of the match against Naito and then he ended up winning. So, maybe one day they'll talk about that match.
Maybe.
Because it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. So shout out John Moxley, new IWGP champ. But yes, lots of shows on that free feed as well. And a detox is dropping probably sometime tomorrow as well. And then Shot in the Dark and everything up there. So lots and lots of shows. And thank you all for listening and supporting. Always appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I also watched some Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're in the PLE. We're in the
new era.
Exactly.
All
so
of that era.
Pretty, we can kind of run through some things here because pretty bummed about Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. I had no idea about this until just sort of earlier in the day yesterday where reports of this injury had come out. And, arm in a sling, vacates the title. Obviously any injury sucks, but in a way, like, it's, I think it's going to be good for her, like, when she comes back, probably as a babyface. You know, she's sort of undefeated with this title. The reign was over a year. People want to cheer her anyway. I think it's, once she's, like, healthy again, it'll be great for, like, to have her chase the title again. And, you know, kind of, her character at this point doesn't need to be defeated yet, I think. So, I think, kind of, it'll be fine once she's back, but really, really sad because she's been on such a run and it's just good that she managed to get through Mania and Perth and all that first, I think.
Yeah. Like she had a pretty crazy run, even if you just look at the last few months and last week, I really liked the match with Becky. So I imagine that's a story when she comes back and hopefully she rests up and gets better because she was just a huge character. Like watching that Perth show was one thing, but watching Mania, like she's treated as one of their big acts, I think. And we'll continue to mention that so many people that don't watch wrestling are always sharing different memes of Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Because it's always the, what was the butt thing with Shayna Baszler and yada, yada, yada. So like she has broken the, like, she's just kind of popular. And I've had coworkers be like, yo, who's that? Like, I need to watch wrestling. I'm like,
it's,
oh yeah.
Okay. Like wrestling, I know it's like The Rock, like wrestling's cool again, but people are starting, like, it's definitely picking up because I put Raw on at work last night and sound off, but a bunch of people were watching it. Like, there was a baseball game going on as well, and there was, like, one regular who I had no idea had any interest in wrestling started, like, talking to me about it and was watching back in the day, and then, like, Sheamus comes out, and someone's like, wait, is that Sheamus? And, yeah, and then I've had some regulars who actually today they were kind of drinking at Gabby's before the WrestleMania watch party and kind of stuck around for a little bit and they've never really watched it. And they were like, I had so much fun. And they're just sat at the bar watching videos today and being like, oh, can you recommend me some stuff to watch? And so it's definitely like picking up again.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot more people are like, oh, I actually watched, you know, WrestleMania, whether people were watching live or watching like after the fact online and stuff like that. But it seemed like there was a lot more genuine interest in everything that was going on for last week. So yeah, that's always good. Like we do watch parties and like the demand is crazy that like we might even do one for Backlash.
Maybe.
Possibly.
I think we'll be showing it somewhere.
Yeah.
Backlash, which will be great fun.
Like these shows are just keep getting more people interested and we love hanging out and hanging with other wrestling fans in the city. So, that's always cool. But yeah, so other stuff from Raw, I just go to like to the main event with one of the coolest like segues from one segment into like the main event with like Jey Uso,
yep,
with the camera following him shoving a fan. I got a giggle out of that. And then, you know, hyping up with Sammy, the Montreal whole thing, the crowd were so behind him, has an awesome match with Chad Gable.
Oh, yeah.
Hits an angle slam off the top rope and then took one nasty looking German from Sammy who really brought it out of him. But this match was great. And then the German that was even nastier was when Sammy goes to see his wife after a successful victory, just taken out of her hands, another German suplex by Chad. What a great swerve, because right away he's like, oh no, you beat me, and hugged him and everything. And then it was after that.
Loved it. Yeah. I said, I kind of watched it on mute yesterday,
right,
at the bar, but was like really getting into that match. And I think this is going to be really interesting for Gable. We've seen him only really be a comedy heel in WWE so far. And now kind of, again, like under a new sort of era. I mean, I think there were people that were so into the story with Gable that really wanted to see him as a babyface dethrone Gunther and be IC champion. But now, like, you know, you're up against a legit main eventer in Sami Zayn. You're a heel, and this could really elevate Gable, I think. I think he's such a phenomenal wrestler and has managed to, you know, push himself into this position after going through so much shit in WWE. You know, American Alpha, I thought, had their legs cut from underneath them pretty early on the main roster, when I definitely think there was more of a run there with them, but they just didn't care about the tag division. Shorty G, you know, managing to get through that and come out the other side. And even Alpha Academy started off as a bit of a joke and over time really started to gain popularity, but was never really seen as a main event act. And
everything he's been in he's been shining in.
Absolutely. And I think the cream rises to the crop, right? I always thought that with Cody, you know, whatever gimmick he was given, whether it was dashing, a mustache, a stardust, whatever, he always put his all into it and made it work, as goofy as some of the characters are. And I think Gable's very much been like that. His wrestling is fantastic. And, I mean, he's essentially a Kurt Angle, right? And
right,
Kurt would work so well as a heel with this style. So I'm really excited to see what it means for him. And yeah, like the sky's the limit. Like I'm really excited to see the future of Chad Great Gable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic to see like where he's come from. Again, you kind of said it, like he has been on the grind, like, yo, all right, I'll do that. Cool. All right. I get paid. It's fun to wrestle. And then now it's like, finally, look, it took Triple H to kind of take over and give him this great spot. This was a very memorable, like I said, from that camera shot to the match itself to the swerve at the end. Like, this could be a great feud for the next few months.
Oh, yeah.
It going into, like, Backlash, that's the match. That'll be, like, a show-stealing match at Backlash for sure. So definitely jealous of that crowd, because Gable and Sammy just pulled off a great match. But now, with the viciousness,
do you strap him up right away?
Honestly, like, it's quite possible, because you know how much I love my 2005 WWE and like Kurt Angle and 05 WWE. He's reminding me of that. I saw the memes today, Perk Gable. I know that Kurt Angle would not approve of those jokes, but like he's looking already, like as soon as he turned, it's like, oh, now he looks mean.
Yeah.
And he'll get so much heat. And now when he tells people to shoosh, it'll get even more heat. So yeah. I'm really excited about this.
Well, I kind of want to see him just get away from that. Full stop.
Sure, yeah. Wear a suit. And, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, abandon the academy. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't need to see a heel Maxxine Dupri added to this act, really. You know, like, I think, I'm really excited. And I would maybe, I don't think Sammy necessarily needs a long reign with this title. Like, he's held it a bunch. It was more for him to get that WrestleMania moment. And now I think it's the time to go with Gable and have a real serious run with this IC title, which they've done a great job in rehabbing the last couple of years with this Gunther run.
Yeah, this seems like a big high angle and elevating like stories for all these different things going on. So they're continuing the like right away, here's more stories that are pretty interesting. And again, like I saw that, I don't know if it was Fightful that reported this, but somewhere clipped Charles Barkley had watched this last night and was like, this, that guy's like evil or something like that. I hope this was a real quote. Cause I was like, wait, why is Charles Barkley watching Raw? But he really thought it was evil of this attack. And so did I. So I think it really did make Chad Gable like this with this angle. So really interested in that. You know, another angle that could really make someone is all this barcodes. I mean, this could really make Matt Hardy
again. No.
He can slap a tornado.
Yeah, I mean, we first heard of this from our friend John Cena, who was at Raw, who kind of said, oh, they're doing some like White Rabbit-esque stuff. So, you know, I haven't finished the Bray doc yet, but there is a tease at the end that we know Bo's been under contract for quite a while now. Obviously, he was going to be doing the Uncle Howdy stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, is this going to be the Wyatt Six that was talked about? Like, is this a way to get, you know, you could have
Bo,
like Bo, Braun,
Alexa,
bring back Rowan,
Matt Hardy.
Like, that didn't even cross my mind, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I mean, he was a tag team with Bray for a bit.
They won the titles.
They won the titles.
Broken. What was it? Deletion? Deletion of Worlds?
Woke Hardy, wasn't he?
Woke Hardy?
he was woke in WWE and he was broken outside.
Yeah, but the team was
Deleter of Worlds, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Bo Dallas isn't someone as a wrestler I'm particularly overly excited for, but as some sort of, you know, tribute to Bray, like I'm kind of about it. And I thought they did a great job with Bray's return at, was it Survivor Series or Extreme Rules, whenever it was, right? He came back after the whole White Rabbit stuff. They're doing a similar sort of thing with this. I think it could work.
Yeah.
But whether they just go for the four, not necessarily call them the Wyatt Six, but yeah, who you'd fill it out with if you are doing six members?
Well, yeah, I think we just said it. I think you just said it. It's Bo, Alexa, Braun,
Rowan,
Matt Hardy.
Who's the sixth?
Oh, true. Yeah. You do need a sixth. Yeah,
because I think like Vincent and Dutch were rumored to be part of this.
The
Click Men.
They're pretty much the Wyatt family.
Yeah,
AEW's
exactly. I mean, there were sightings of them like in the PC, like watching NXT and stuff like that.
So the Wyatt Seven?
Well, no, I mean, they're under contract.
Oh, right.
So, I don't know. Joe Gacy, maybe?
Ah, fuck it. Put Joe Gacy in there.
Yeah, why not?
He's like, look, I'm pretty spooky too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty, you know, I think I'm the Joker. Yeah. Yada, yada. Let me in. Yeah, okay, there you go. The Wyatt Six.
Mm.
It's like the Sinister Six.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. All right. I think people would like treat it with some respect, considering it's like really an act to show love.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Bray, right. So hopefully it's
you'd probably use Braun as more of your like main event guy from that act.
Yeah.
And unless you want to do the tag team with Roman and Braun.
Right.
Bo, yeah, it's just Bo's wrestling.
We watch a lot of Bo, oddly.
I watch too much Bo Dallas.
If you're a real NXT fan, you can check out our show, Was Next. That's a show we do a few weeks in a month, every few weeks, I guess. And we talk about Bo a whole lot because we just finally got through his title run. And we'll finally get to my favorite NXT moment, which is Bo Dallas yelling, "He's touching my bum."
It's very soon.
Hopefully.
I think it's in the next couple of weeks.
So check out What's Next on the Patreon out there. But
RYN suggesting Cameron Grimes for the group.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I don't know if there
he's got the Hardy connection.
He has the Hardy connection. True.
And I mean, he ain't doing shit.
He's not doing anything else. Yeah. So yeah, there's that. Some other things you said contracts with AEW. I saw Cassidy Haynes of Body Slam?
Body Slam.
Who said the Motor City Machine Guns are going to AEW, which I think everyone kind of was like hoping for.
Mm.
And that's definitely like super exciting because we love those.
The tag division needs help in AEW, I think. Obviously you've got FTR and the Bucks, but there's only so many times you can do that match. And I think we were talking on Poison Rana recently about, you know, kind of dropping the ball with Santana and Ortiz. You've got Phoenix is still out right now, and all the other tag teams just don't seem really at that level.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we predicted the Bucks, you know, winning the tag titles at Dynasty, have the guns confront them right away. Like, yeah, have that as the next feud. We know that match will be fantastic. They've got so much history together. I think that's a great move.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of these guys through all the different iterations, Ring of Honor, TNA, you know, Kushida, get him in there afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, Time Machine. But yeah, Machine Guns and Bucks, they've had so many great matches in the past. So revisiting some of that stuff. And then, you know, Guns versus FTR, Guns Lucha Brothers, Guns versus a lot of these young up and coming teams as well that can help. Like you said, they need another like big hitter team. And I think they could come in like swinging, hopefully. Like, absolutely. Hey, don't forget about us, because we like sunned all these teams. Like, yeah, the Bucks themselves are like, hey, we.
And there's
like
stuff in there for singles as well. Like, both are great singles wrestlers as well. I'm not saying necessarily like your world champion level, but, you know, an Alex Shelley, Roderick Strong international title match and stuff like that is definitely something I'd be interested in.
Bring back Paparazzi Productions. Sure. Let's go. Yeah. That sounds great. And that adds the little wrinkle to like Dynasty of, I think we might see them show up, like you said. So pretty excited about that. Another thing I've been watching non-wrestling, because I keep seeing other people go off about, is this X-Men 1997.
I actually did start it the other night, but I started at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And watched about the opening credits. And
it's taken me a long time, because that's actually what I keep watching it at night and then falling asleep. And then I wake up, I'm like, who died? And then I got to go rewatch the whole episode.
I've heard it's fantastic.
Oh, man, it is so good. Like, I was a huge fan of that show, and even bigger fan of the old school arcade game, which they like have so many Easter eggs to that in itself. But so far, like the last few episodes have just been like awesome. It's like it's catered to me. It's like, hey, you were in the 90s watching this show, and all these little things you'll understand, like the little like Easter eggs to the comics and the shows and everything. Like, it's pretty fun.
I've got the next 2 days off, and as Sod's Law, you know, beautiful weather today, beautiful weather yesterday, and it's meant to rain the rest of the week. Uh-huh. So maybe that's something I could do Thursday and just get my way through that.
It was pretty good.
Other contract stuff, Julia, more news coming out about Julia, and the new, we now have a name for Rossi Agawa's promotion.
Marigold.
Wasn't that a film? The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel or something like that?
Was it?
Load of old people. But yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Julia, I mean, it seems that, you know, she's helping start off this promotion. And I mean, we've theorized there's probably going to be some sort of synergy between this promotion and WWE NXT. But the rumor is Julia to be challenging for one of the women's titles at NXT Heatwave, which we'll be at because it's right down the road. So super excited. Julia was someone I kind of learned about during the pandemic, because I reviewed the Cinderella tournament with WH, and she won that year and definitely stood out to me. And I just think I think WWE is completely the right move for her. I think they've done a great job with the Joshis that they have signed, you know, your EOs, your Asukas, your Kairis. But I think Julia has a lot of marketability about her as well. She, you know, her background is Japanese, English, and Italian. We're seeing
NXT Italy.
Yeah,
they just signed another big Italian guy off that reality show as well. So
how long before we have, you know, Backlash in Rome next year or something like that?
But in the Colosseum, book it, Paul.
But no, I'm super excited to see Julia. I think you can see watching NXT how much the focus is on women, and I think most weeks you often seem to have more women's matches and women's segments than the men. It's something that they've been building very well in WWE, and Julia, like, you know, Julia Roxanne in Toronto would absolutely have my attention there.
Yeah, I think that's great. Like you kind of said, it during the pandemic is when we watched a lot more wrestling that we never really watched, which helped us explore and watch different stuff. And Julia was a definite standout in anything that we watched from Stardom. So seeing her in the crowd at Stand and Deliver when we were there, I mean, I popped more for Knuckles, not going to lie, but still seeing Julia was great. And now hearing that we're going to get to see her wrestle. So there could be some great matches for her down the line in WWE, and not even like going back. There's, let alone the people who've also been through Stardom, there's instant like matches you could go towards those.
Yeah. But
there's so many others that like, wow, that I think she could be, like you said, a pretty big deal. So definitely excited about that. Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else. I guess that's it.
I think that's it. Shall we get into some NXT?
I think so.
NXT, April 16th, 2024, live from the Capitol Wrestling Center. They started the show a little differently this time, kind of. Obviously, we've been having this crazy sellout run on the main roster, and they're trying all these new camera shots and stuff, but they started with showing people arriving to the PC, which I feel they did years ago at Full Sail, but I haven't seen them do that for a long time.
Like the crowd going in?
Yeah, just showing, you know, wrestling's hot. People can see this.
Like going to NXT, I know it's at this arena now or this little studio, but like when you go to Full Sail, it used to be a thing. Some of the wrestlers would be there and like hype you up and they'd sell some merch and, you know, but now I feel like it's just you go and you go inside in this little studio. So maybe trying to make it like that. The crowd seemed really into the show from the get-go, so maybe something like that helped, right? Yep. Like having Trick come out and stuff.
Exactly. We opened the show with Noam Dar versus Dijak. This was set up from a little skit they did on Stand and Deliver, kind of making fun of Dijak. And both are kind of falling into this sort of more tweener role now, I'd say. I think both, like, Metaphor are just quite a fun act and getting over with the crowd. And I think Dijak's in-ring performances have really, like, people want to see this guy do well. He's someone, like a Gable, has been hard done by quite a lot and busts his ass, like, all the time. So, kind of heel versus heel match, but both kind of crowd favorites as well, I feel, right now.
And then, like, hey, right away, the crowd were on both their sides because they put on pretty good
hell of an opener. Dar starts with his big spinning back fist to the face, followed by a running forearm. Dijak does his springboard clothesline, taking him down. And then there's a satellite into a guillotine from Dar, which keeps on getting countered by Dijak. And then Dijak just tosses him out the ring to commercial break, which looked great.
Yeah, and the crowd also getting over a whoop whoop, dasta sanda da police chant over, I assume, for Dijak, who is basically Big Boss Man.
Right. After the commercial, Dar has Dijak in a knee bar as they're trading blows. Dijak comes back with these huge open palm chops to the chest, and then a toss suplex, goes for the cyclone boot, but gets caught in a guillotine again, which is countered into the hard justice chokeslam for a two count. Dijak goes for a big boot again, but gets strung up in the ropes, which allows Dar to hit him with a flying clothesline and then a fisherman buster, which he's been attempting throughout this match, hitting it and going right into the cross arm breaker. Dar then delivers like a Judas effect back elbow, and then they're trading super kicks. There's his kind of thrusting Superman punch, which always looks great.
His is awesome.
Dijak now connects with the cyclone boot, signals for Feast Your Eyes, which I might be wrong. I feel like he hasn't done that for a while. Like
He did it at Stand and Deliver.
But the crowd getting into it. But this is when Oro Mensah gets on the apron, and I think he's put on a mask, and I think it's meant to be like the T-bar mask is what I got from it.
Oh, okay.
To wind up Dijak. Right. It was like a mouth mask kind of thing.
So, I thought he was just, you know, being, you know, careful. Just wearing a mask.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was like a T-bar nod.
Right.
So Dijak boots him off the apron, but turns around into the Nova Roller from Dar for the win in a cracking opening match, I thought.
Yeah, look, Dijak has really just, like, overstated his, he's basically like, look, I've been stuck in NXT. I've been put through so much shit. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to put on awesome matches, and always goes out and gives it his all. And he's been on one hell of a streak. But even if you look at, like, back through his NXT run here with this character, like, all the matches have been good. Mm-hmm. So really, like, this character, as silly as the hard justice kind of thing is, I think on the main roster, this could be, he's putting on such good matches.
I feel like toned it down a bit in recent weeks as well, you know? I love this guy. I think they were kind of leaning into on commentary as well that he was not the one pinned. So obviously, Obafemi is kind of having a little Ivar feud right now. I see us maybe getting a rematch between these two as Dar, like, won by kind of cheating.
Yeah.
And then I see maybe the singles match with Dijak and Obafemi down the line.
I love Noam Dar too. Like, he's so funny, but he's also, like, very talented, very crazy with the strikes and the submissions. So this was a sweet match. Definitely would say check it out. But We'll get a rematch between the two as well. But Dijak, man, like, he should just be going for the title in the next little, like, while. Heatwave should just be him versus.
Yeah, I think you could definitely elevate him, and I think the crowd would want to see it.
The crowd have totally, except that booing guy wasn't there this week. So the crowd were really into Dijak and pretty pissed that, like, they were cheery for both.
I've rewatched that triple threat as well from Stand and Deliver, and I thought it was excellent.
Yeah.
Dijak definitely holding that all together. But fun opener. We have Ryback in the chat, who says, next week I'm going back to WWE to beat up Cody Rhodes. I will finish my story. Sure you will, mate. Anyway.
Nice.
Yeah. Moving on, we have Ilya Dragunov going to Ava's office, and Ava's basically saying, look, it's not fair that Trick's challenging for the title next week, but he's got a cage match tonight. So in the interest of fairness, Ilya, you shall wrestle tonight, but you get to pick your opponent. And Ilya's like, I am fine with that. Let's make it an open challenge.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to later. We get a vignette for Tatum Paxley, where it's kind of her narrating directly to the screen. And she says, growing up, she always wanted to be a good girl. As you're seeing, like, clips of these little children playing with dolls and running around in dresses. And she says, but people didn't want to be friends with Tatum Paxley. And now you're seeing her playing with, like, the Mattel wrestling figures of all different women's champions still under contract at the time. And she goes through all the champions. Like, she talks about Becky and Charlotte and Asuka, right the way through to Lyra. And she says, and I loved Lyra. She was the only one who let me in. But she's talking about loving objects and especially the NXT Women's Championship. And that is why she always wanted to be with Lyra. And she broke her heart when she lost that title. And it shows the replay of the attack on Lyra last week, and says, Lyra is nothing to me now. Roxanne is the coolest girl in class. But I can't have that anymore. It needs to be me. Lyra, my sweet dove, you're in my way. So Tatum kind of showing that she has intentions for the title.
She's crazy.
I like this more than other crazy people stuff, because at least it kind of made sense. And I like, dolls are creepy as well, so having her play with them. I didn't think this was too bad. I'm not normally into the hokey creepy stuff, but as long as you make sense out of it. And she's just saying, I want the title.
Yeah, we kind of figured anyways, but she's just kind of crazy. Shout out Wei, who pointed out to us that I think it was Andrew Thompson watching that one of the clips used in this was post wrestling.
Yeah,
the Lyra lost the title or something like that.
Yeah,
right? One of the things she was.
It was the triple threat, like,
when
the cash in happened.
Right. Nice.
We go to our next match, Sol Ruka versus Lola Vice. They start with a bit of chain wrestling, and Ruka is really smooth, I think, with her transitions and kind of flipping out these wrist locks and stuff. Delivers a super kick to Lola and then runs into the corner, moonsaults over her head and delivers an X Factor. Vice comes back with a spinning back fist and then the rapid, like, jumping kicks from both legs to Ruka, followed by running hip attack. Lola then keeps on going for like a chokehold, which Ruka powers out of, hits a standing moonsault. Ruka then ducks a roundhouse kick, delivers a super kick, and then Sol goes for her rainbow DDT, but Blair Davenport gets on the apron right in front of the referee.
Yeah, the ref just pretended he didn't see her.
Yeah.
She definitely swiped her leg.
Yeah. Pushes her off, and then you get the big kick from Lola for the win.
Yeah, you know what? This was pretty fun as well. Some good wrestling on tonight's show, because Lola Vice has been really stepping up, and she's become one of my favorite characters here on NXT. And even in a few weeks, we'll learn of a match just after this. But Sol Ruka, also one of the best like wrestlers coming up as well.
Ruka's so smooth.
Yeah.
Like, her transitions are so nice. And I think Lola is clearly improving every week as well. And considering that these two haven't really been doing this long at all, I thought they had a pretty nice match here.
Yeah, like, again, they're both improving, and these are two of my favorite. Like, they could be big deals in NXT and WWE, and Booker T, clearly a big fan of Lola Vice. Lola Vice with the extra spice, that Cholula green. he always, when Lola Vice, to give, I guess, him credit, Lola Vice does dance a lot.
Yeah.
When she makes her entrance, she shakes her bum. When she beats you up, she shakes her bum. And then when she wins or loses, as we've seen, she still shakes her bum. So Booker T just goes, oh, yeah. He does all the shucky ducky, all that stuff. So
Booker knows it. Booker spouts a load of nonsense a lot of the time, but the green sauce is where it is at.
Yeah. I also love that he's doing this, and then later on the show, he'll also be like, yo, Charmel, honey, put the kids to bed. It's like, well, you also, if she was watching Book, she heard you talk about Lola Vice, but bless you, Book. You were killing me tonight.
So after the match, Lola's doing her victory dance when...
she was shaking her bum, yeah.
Shaking her bum. When Natalia shows up on the screen and says, last week you kept me from winning a title I've never won before, so I want you to show me what you've got in a match that most suits you. It will be you versus me in week two of Spring Breakin' in NXT Underground.
Sick.
And it's the first NXT Women's Underground match. What's interesting is I read just 2 days ago Natalia in interviews saying about how much she enjoyed going to Bloodsport to watch Shayna.
We saw her there, yeah.
And that she's been working with Josh Barnett on submissions and stuff, and that she would love to one day do a Bloodsport-style match. And then 2 days later, they've booked this. So
hell yeah.
I imagine maybe this was already planned before that. But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, look, Natalia's been doing this drop down to NXT and face like some of the rookies bit for literally like 10 years now.
It's been
a long time. So like she's been doing this thing, but in fairness, like she, I guess, helps them because a lot of people who have worked with her praise her and like thank her. And again, look at her husband, TJ Tyson Kidd, who's producing some of the matches from last weekend that people are praising. So I see Natty eventually becoming a producer for WWE as well. But I think like as much as maybe we're kind of like, all right, like we've seen her, you know, what she can do for on screen and stuff, but she does, I guess, help. And in a weird, strange way, I'm looking forward to seeing Natalia versus Lola Vice in NXT Underground.
NXT's had a good track record with these so far, the Underground matches.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm curious to see how it looks.
So, yeah, we'll see. And then maybe Natalia in a Bloodsport. Wow, that'd be...
Mm.
The main event was Johnny Bloodsport, and like I don't even want to spoil it. Just go watch it. Like
I don't think I will. we have NXT Anonymous, where we see Ridge Holland leaving Ava's office.
Uh-oh.
And when Joaquin Wilde is there and says, "Why don't you just face who you are?" And Ridge grabs him, pins him up against the wall, and says, "You don't know who I am."
You know what? I liked this episode of NXT, but I'll tell you the stuff I didn't like, all the Ridge stuff. I just, man, like, what are they doing? They're making me hate this character and this guy so much. I can't stand this Frankenstein's monster of hurting people that Ridge has become, so.
We have the first of our Ariana Grace segments. She's finally got hold of Georgina, Gigi Dolin, and she... she's going to give her a makeover. So she's talking, saying that she has so much work to do with Georgina before Spring Breakin'. The music under this is very like Disney princess-esque. And she said, Gigi arrives early and she's concerned. She's like, oh, you're not going to make me bow and curtsy, are you? And she goes, no, we're going to start by going dress shopping because the way you dress now, makes you look like you want to kick their heads in. So we need to change that harsh exterior of yours. And Gigi goes, okay, but can it be black? I just want to wear black. And she goes, no, but we're going to have you looking like me in no time. So
yeah. So like Ariana's all dressed up like a model. She's got a like Paris t-shirt on, short beret. Shorts, beret. And then Gigi's like, you know, dressed like a punker kind of thing.
Black
so
Doc Martens,
that so yeah, it's unfortunately going to, there's a few more of these where it's dress shopping, but
not my cup of tea.
Have we had dress shopping on pro wrestling before?
Oh, we've had so many makeovers in
but
wrestling.
Dress shopping on dress wrestling shopping. Not talking makeovers, there's probably been like hundreds of those, but dress shopping on a pro wrestling show,
I feel like we have, but, okay, yeah,
someone out there please
Yeah, I don't know who the target audience is for these segments.
Just that's why I bring it up. Yeah, it's like, okay, like, you know, hey, you know, women watch this show and dress shopping, and I don't know. I just, it's like, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right.
We go to Ridge Holland versus Joaquin Wild. Wild hits this beautiful springboard crossbody, like a corkscrew springboard off the second rope.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a setup from the, like, attack earlier, right?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, Ridge slammed Cruz's...
It was an accident!
...hand in the door last week, and Joaquin's like, ah, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Ridge delivers some uppercuts, goes for a punch on the outside, but Joaquin moves, so he punches the ring post. Back in the ring, Ridge traps the arms of Joaquin, delivering a headbutt, then a hoe train in the corner, and a big over-the-head belly-to-belly suplex. And then Wild starts firing up, runs the ropes, and just runs into this big pounce, which sends him flying. But Ridge doesn't go for the pin. This is when we see Sean Spears come out, and he's watching on the stage.
Wearing his vest. Like Aladdin.
Ridge goes for a clothesline, which Wild, like Matrix, escapes out of it, which looked pretty nice. Hits a neck breaker, then goes for a tope suicida, but gets caught by Ridge into a power slam on the floor. And then Ridge rolls him into the ring and hits him with a cradle DDT for the win.
Yeah, didn't think too much of this match either. I can't get into this character that it's set up this way. And they're playing it like he doesn't know his own strength, kind of like he knows he's trying not to be the monster, but he needs to unleash it. I'm kind of just not into that story. I'll give praise to Ridge for like Ridge is actually a decent wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, so it's, I hate that this is what, like how he's being presented in NXT. However, like I always got to shine when it's Wild. Because he's the one shining, I should say, because he's always great, man. Even in little matches like
who
this.
Who we rarely see in singles at that point. Yeah, I thought the match was fine. I thought Joaquin looked great as always. Ridge was a good base for him. But after the match, Ridge, it's just the story stuff I don't like. After the match, Ridge is looking at his hands like, oh no, what did I do? And it's, You pinned him with a DDT.
You're a wrestler.
You didn't rip his head off. You pinned him with a DDT. That's why. Stop looking at your hands.
Oh, I hurt him so much. It's like just...
It wasn't like if it was more the match we have with Authors of Pain later. Like, yeah, maybe that's when you're like, fuck, what have I done? But it was just a match. This was just a normal wrestling match, and Ridge won and then was sad about it.
It'd almost be more funnier like last week because he slammed the door and it was on the guy's hand. Like every week it just gets more ridiculous that he accidentally hurt. It's like a Naked Gun movie or something. speaking of Naked Gun, I'd like to pour one out. Rest in piss, OJ Simpson. I don't know how we got there, but anyways, Ridge Holland is going to continue to hurt people.
Did you tell me Piss Pants is doing a new Naked Gun?
Yeah. Liam Neeson. Someone is listening like, I don't understand that reference. Just search Liam Neeson.
All our shows where we mention Liam Neeson. Any review. Yeah, what was it? What was the one Brandon's?
Skull? Fuck, Squirrel? Squirrel?
Squirrel.
Squirrel. Yeah, Scarl.
Scroll.
Yeah. Scroll. So Liam Neeson is known for pissing his pants, and but we love him. Don't get this twisted. No one ever say that.
You're saying it as a negative.
Yeah. Because he's got a big old hog. It happens. So he's been cast in the Naked Gun reboot with Pamela Anderson now cast as like his love interest. So it's a remake of the original.
When did Pam last act?
Not for quite a while.
That's crazy.
So yeah.
It's going to be huge.
So who's playing OJ?
It's
the real question. Cuba Gooding Jr. can't do it again because he's in jail, but he played him in...
Yeah, who got off with murder recently? Like,
get that. Who's that girl, Gypsy Rose? Anyway.
We see Josh Briggs backstage with the trainer. Josh suffered two broken ribs at Stand and Deliver. The trainer's checking on him, but tapes him up and clears him. And this is when Ivar walks in and says, hey, Josh, like, how about, you know, give it a few more weeks so you heal up and you're 100%, and I'll face Obafemi, I'll win the North American title, and I promise you'll get the first shot at it. And Briggs is like, nah, go back to Raw where you lose to Sheamus.
Oh.
And this sets up a match for later tonight.
Too many limes.
I like I like how they've sort of transitioned Ivar to be like a human being now and not like he is just a Viking. Like even the line here, Briggs went, go and put on your war paint and that. So
yeah,
I think it makes it work. Like, you know, he's an actual human being, but gets in a Viking mode for his matches. Like,
yeah, yeah. Ivar's been great, right? Yeah, he's been definitely good. And I like that he's dropped down here to have the few matches. I think he'll help out some of the guys as well.
Yeah. We see a TikTok where Brinley Reese is training Idris and Malik ahead of their match against AOP, or Brinley keeps on calling them OP.
OP.
And they're like, no, it's AOP. And she's like, oh. And Brinley wants to go out with them, but they're like, nah, stay in the back for this one. We've been having some bad juju recently. So, I really don't like this act.
I feel like
zero chemistry between the three of them.
So Brinley Reese is clearly on that fruit punch pre-workout because she's just always hyper and always wants to work out. And now she's with these two, which, I don't know if it adds to their act, but they've been doing the same act for quite a while with like little things added. And it's not really, they've still just been the enhancement talent, right? So it's a way to have something to do, I guess, for them. But
it feels forced though. Like I do feel there's a natural chemistry with like Fallon and Briggs and Jensen or Thea with Duke and Chase. Like I just, something feels off with these three where it just very much feels thrown together and it's not clicking for me.
Like maybe it could lead somewhere. Maybe who knows? It could help them out. Maybe they did need like a manager or someone with them to get over whatever character, because their wrestling is great. Like, right, we haven't seen too much wrestling from Brinley, but like Idris and Malik are, like I said, they make the next guys look great. You know, so Ope.
We see Thea Hale and Andre Chase have a talk, and Chase says, yes, JC Jane wasn't lying. So it was revealed last week that Andre Chase put all of his money, the Chase U money, on Thea Hale to beat Tiffany Stratton for the women's championship. But he ended up throwing in the towel, and that's why they're in all this financial trouble. Chase said, yeah, like I had everything under control, but that all changed when I saw, when I realized how confident I was in you and that I believed you would beat Stratton. So I decided to risk it all. But then seeing you suffer, I had to throw in the towel. And in that moment, I didn't care what it cost me. I just didn't want to see you in pain. And Thea then asked why he didn't tell her. He's like, well, I didn't want to burden you with that, and I wanted you to focus on your career. And Thea apologizes forever doubting that he believed in her and gives him a big old hug. It was cute.
You know, okay, I feel for you, Andre, but you still maybe shouldn't have.
Just,
you're still a bad
don't
dean.
Don't put all your money on it.
Is he the dean? No, he's just professor. But like, you didn't need to put up the. You could have put like a few K.
Yeah.
You know, like
not
you could
all of it.
You could have got some tips from Otani and his interpreter, and you could have put a healthy amount of money down on a gamble, on a bet for Thea to win. Not the fucking
you didn't
university.
Have to go to Bruno Mars.
No. Is that legit? People are saying it's not legit, but
well,
that's what they want you to do.
He put a lot on, but he's also making a lot of money. But yeah.
Andre, like, why would you put the whole university? Like, I know you had a problem, and gambling is a serious problem for some people. So, but damn, like,
as I'm checking how the Washington Nationals are doing right now.
So, like, yeah, I'm like, it's kind of a weird thing. I can't feel for him because I'm like, no, dude. Like,
but this was like the end of that story. Now, like, Thea and Chase are now good again.
Okay, well, I'll say it then because no one else will. Is Duke's just in the corner? Like, do they know it was me? My poker. They'll never pay that off.
Yeah,
and I'll kill them for it.
Yeah. talking of killing, Tony and the family come out. Tony D'Angelo. And he's kind of lamenting his loss, but he says, look, to think where I was a year ago, making Pretty Deadly disappear, and I had to deal with all those accusations I was facing.
Accusations.
But then I look at the family. I look at Stax and Luca, and they're ready to add tag team gold to the family. I look at Rizzo, who I believe is the future of the women's division. And Stand and Deliver, I went toe-to-toe with one of the toughest men in NXT history. And it was a fight, and I didn't win. But this thing is going one more round. And toughness is about longevity. When he's interrupted by the No Quarter Catch crew, and...
No quarter?
No quarter.
No catch?
No catch.
No gulag.
No crew, yeah. And Dempsey says, look, I don't like our business going public. And Tony says, look, you came to me to take care of something you couldn't because you don't have the balls to do it yourself. And they tell Charlie, like, not to be talking about the specifics. And Dempsey says, well, there was trash that needed taken out for the betterment of the industry, and you took care of it. So now in kayfabe, apparently No Quarter Catch crew got D'Angelo to get rid of Drew Gulak.
Murdered.
Don't mention him by name, but he's dead. He's gone. And they haven't paid him. So D'Angelo wants the payment. So
yeah, okay, keeping score. Regal's kid got the Italian mobster to kill Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
And now made
and
it
decided
public.
To just talk about it on national
on
TV.
TV live. And then...
But they're like, whoa, let's not go into specifics.
And then also is like, and we're not going to pay you, but thanks.
Yeah.
And then also took it upon himself to... Now, I wonder where this comes in. Was this like something... he was told to say or wanted to say, but he does say like the for the better of the industry,
which was interesting because it wasn't like, you know, you can always do that. Oh, he was dead weight and he was holding us back.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was like for the betterment of the industry.
It was burying.
We took the trash out.
Yeah. It was very much shitting on Drew Gulak. So I'm wondering if there was some like convincing to get him to say this line or he said it, you know, himself, or I don't know, but it was very apparent that is the end of Drew Gulak, and I'm assuming he's gone from WWE after that.
Yeah,
so
I mean, we never saw Two Dimes again, and that was the last like actual murder we had.
Yeah, actual right? murder. Yeah, exactly. But so yeah, I mean, this is clearly stemming from the comments from Ronda Rousey,
yeah,
referring to the drawstring incident, yeah, and then Drew Gulak's defense, his tweet saying he went for a handshake and accidentally touched her drawstring of her pants. And ever since that, he was not on TV last week, mm-hmm, and now, kayfabe-wise, he has been murdered by the Tony D'Angelo family.
Yeah.
Okay.
The segment, I then feel, goes off the rails a bit. So Luca Crucifino then says, look, you can either settle this debt and pay us what we're owed, or we can handle it the other way, as in get into a fight. And then Tony says that he wants a chance at the Heritage Cup. And Dempsey says he's not going to let a lowlife scumbag disgrace the cup. And then they all start to brawl and a match is set up for next week. A six man. But it felt like, I think Dempsey like just blanked on the lines at some point here, because it kind of just got very awkward and they
and quiet.
Quiet and like pauses in between the lines. And it felt like Tony was trying to maybe get it back on track. And like they were going around in circles a little bit. I like Dempsey. I didn't think he came across well in this segment, really. And Tony's pretty confident and easy in these kind of segments usually. So
yeah,
it felt a little off.
I do love Charlie Dempsey, but I did feel maybe something was off, and it was after saying that line about Drew Gulak. So I wonder if that was something that threw him off after saying that. I'm not quite sure, but there probably will be more to come out of this. Will be the thing talked about for sure, because yeah, that whole drawstring thing is like, okay, well, his response didn't necessarily make him sound or look any good, but it could be that we don't know. But if WWE are just like, nah, we don't want you, actually, it's fine. Like, I wonder if what would come from that, if Ronda speaks more into it, if he speaks more into it.
It's whether, like, you know, WWE did, because I find it a little hard to get rid of someone, something like a drawstring. It does just seem, it's a weird story, yeah, isn't it? But whether they've done an investigation and other people there have been like, oh, he's kind of been a bit creepy to me or something. I don't know, but
we don't know. But
there's not been any word of a release of Drew Gulak or anything like that.
This was pretty like
it felt, yeah, like they're alluded, they've killed him off. You know, that he's
we
dead.
Murdered
he's
this
dead.
Guy.
This isn't like,
and he was trash.
This isn't, we injured him and he's on the shelf. This is, he's dead. Yeah. He's sleeping with the fishes.
Hey, Tony, thanks for having us kill Drugula.
Anyway, I ain't paying you.
So there you go. That's the death of a PowerPoint here tonight on NXT. But yeah, so Italian mobsters murdering people. That's my NXT.
Ilya Dragunov comes out for his open challenge, and we have the, this is like it used to be with the Wesley, the whole locker room spills out to try and answer the open challenge when Javon Evans jumps over the commentary desk and springs into the ring to answer the challenge. So we're getting 19-year-old Javon Evans, who had his in-ring NXT debut last week, facing the champion Ilya Dragunov.
Yes, the young OG. Javon Evans, he's very bouncy. There was some Twitter spats with some a-hole who was being extremely racist online, and unfortunately, Javon Evans was dragged into it. I won't mention it any further, and anyone listening, don't look it up, but a lot of wrestlers came to the side of Javon Evans, and again, this kid's 19 years old. I couldn't imagine all the things, you know, going against him at such a young age and getting such negative and yeah. and such asshole comments out there, and I'm sure that's it's not even the first and not even the last in an industry we still see social yeah. media. People are absolutely crazy on there, so all the love to Javon Evans, and here he is being put in a great crazy big spot here on NXT where he's facing the NXT champion, and boy, oh boy, this was a match. This is something I'd recommend everyone checking out if you haven't.
Absolutely. Javon goes for this.
Sorry to cut you off, but it's giving me like Adam Cole, Carmelo Hayes, like Kurt Angle, John Cena vibes, where it's like this real young, you know, up and coming star.
This is a guy we're seeing as the future, and he's going to step up here against the best guy they've got.
Yeah. And I mean, he was impressive last week in his match, but this match was, this was up next.
Ilya ducks a big spin kick from Javon early and then catches him with these big, like, hat trick of Germans. Javon eventually knocks Ilya down with a super kick, starts delivering chops, and then Ilya catches the hand and just delivers a head, like, repeated headbutts to Evans here. There's another German suplex attempt to Javon, but now he flips and lands onto his feet, and he gets all bouncy with a big kick. But Ilya kicks out. There's then a lariat from Ilya, which sends Javon inside out. And then Ilya goes for the Constantine special, but gets caught with a Spanish fly from Evans, which just looked so sweet. Evans then leaps off the top rope and gets caught midair with a big chop. And then Dragunov follows up with a big knee to the head for a two count. Evans comes back with a DDT, and Ilya rolls out of the ring to kind of compose himself, and Javon just does a huge, like, Undertaker-esque leap over the top rope. The height he gets here is crazy. And then goes for a splash, but Dragunov gets the knees up, rolls through, hoists Evans up onto his shoulders, and delivers a Death Valley driver into the corner, and then follows up with the Torpedo Moscow for the win. And they put over Evans big time at the end of this, standing ovation from the crowd. But yeah, I thought this was great.
Yeah, awesome match. The styles were great as well. And it's crazy, 19 years old, and this guy is looking so clean and so crisp in some of these moves. And he is hanging in here with the NXT champion. And I think Dragunov is one of the best wrestlers alive on this planet right now. And he, this 19-year-old could just make me believe that he almost beat him. And it was a good moment. And again, it reminds me of when Melo fought Adam Cole. It reminds me of when, these other, you know, up and coming stars get their breakout moment. And like, this will be the one that people look back at. Like, oh yeah, when he first, you know, broke out, it was one thing to be on TV last week, but here against the champion and having some hope spots and some crazy moves. Like you said, that dive, this DDT, like some of those kicks, and he got the crowd chanting young OG and everything. So sky's the limit for this guy.
What I was really impressed with as well is, especially for his age, this guy wasn't just like doing flips for the sake of doing flips. Like, I thought everything he did meant something and made sense. And like, like flying at Ilya for a reason, you know? Like I thought he, like 19 is so young, like yeah. one of the youngest people we've had in NXT. And just the, I don't know, I just thought he really impressed and seemed way more mature than his age here, and has charisma as well. I think, yeah, this guy is definitely someone to watch, and Ilya just a great dance partner here with him and really putting him over. I thoroughly enjoyed this segment.
Yeah, we'll have to go back to this match down the line when both guys are more established in whether it's NXT or WWE, right? Like,
yeah,
the you know, strikes and chops and aggressiveness of Ilya versus this smaller guy who's like flying all around him. So yeah, crazy. 19, Rey Mysterio vibes.
I think this is the guy that should beat Obafemi.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, I think you do all these meat matches with Obafemi, and then this guy can cause the upset.
He hits a Dragon Rana and it's all yeah. over, but do it while he's 19. So
yeah, absolutely.
While he's
yeah,
like
absolutely.
Super young, because that's nuts. But can't wait to see some more from him.
Carmen Petrovic's being interviewed, and she says she's going to be Natalia's training partner and in her corner for the NXT Underground match. This is where Lola Vice enters, and she says that Natalia is entering her world and her rules, and says she can't handle her heat. And just wait to see who I have in my corner. I imagine it's Shayna, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, because of the blood sport and
yeah, and Shayna's history with Natalia as well, and
right,
and bringing someone in, you assume it's a
unless like, Sean called her sister finally.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but yeah, it should be Shayna.
Yeah,
it's Underground
or Josh Barnett,
Shane McMahon.
Yeah, sure.
NXT Underground.
And they're going to have a contract signing next week where I think they're going to reveal who the corner woman or person is. Sol Ruka then goes to Ava and asks for a no disqualification match with Blair Davenport next week at Spring Break-In, and says she won't stop until Blair is carried out of the ring. I'm losing my voice.
You all right there?
Yeah, just choking. We go to our next
sometimes
match.
A little choking's all right.
Yeah, yeah. We go to our next match. Thea Hale taking on Tatum Paxley. They're both running the ropes. Tatum does like a back bend as Thea flips over her, and there's a bit of a standoff. There's a gut wrench suplex from Tatum, and then this interesting, like, modified surfboard Romero special.
Very lucha.
Looked really good
yeah.
from Paxley here. I definitely haven't really seen this before. Thea then fires back, hits a blockbuster when Jasmine Nix comes down, gets on the apron. Thea delivers the world's smallest slam and then goes for her senton coffin drop. But as the ref's distracted by Nix, JC Jane pushes her off the ropes, and this causes Tatum to hit her with the crucifix pin for the win. And right after the match, Thea is pissed. She takes out JC with a suicide dive. They're brawling up the ramp when Lyra jumps in the ring and attacks Tatum. And there's a big pull apart. So both feuds continuing here.
Yeah. Again, you kind of said that there was some interesting wrestling from both of them that we don't necessarily see. So I thought that was pretty good. But Thea Hale has been impressive. Like, thinking back to that match with Tiff, like, that was great. We could have put the title on her, really. And I think she will be champion in NXT before her story is finished in NXT. But some good stuff here. And clearly it's leading to, I guess, a one-on-one encounter between Thea and JC.
JC, so, where Thea can finally tap her out.
Yes, with the armbar tomorrow.
Roxanne Perez is being interviewed and says, that little freak finally turned on her girlfriend, and she doesn't care. She just hopes they destroy each other, and says, I'll sit back and be entertained, and whoever comes out of that match as the winner can get a title match. And then says, that was easy. I don't know why Ava is always complaining about this booking stuff, and says, like, I'll defend in a one-on-one match at Spring Break-In. And this is where Ava interrupts and says, no, you're going to be facing both of them in a triple threat. And Roxanne is pissed and says, why is everyone against me? And you're trying to get the championship off me without me getting pinned. So, yeah triple threat announced. Tatum v. Lyra v. Roxanne.
Yeah, I think that's a more interesting like story considering everything that's going on, because Tatum, the crazy girl.
And it's a way you can continue both feuds. You don't necessarily have someone ready for Roxanne right away. And I imagine Lyra and Tatum kind of are so bothered about taking care of each other that Roxanne will just win.
Right, yeah.
We go to our next match. Authors of Pain.
Ope.
Ope making their NXT return, taking on Idris and Malik.
Man, I feel like I'm being haunted by the ghost of Paul Ellering. I just, oh, like, why do I keep having to see this old man wearing leather chaps?
Why is he in leather pants?
Who is he, Lenny Kravitz? Have you seen that? Lenny Kravitz going to the gym wearing leather
pants.
Think Paul Ellering pulls a Lenny Kravitz?
I'm picturing, you know, when Ross in Friends is wearing the leather pants.
Yeah.
Paul Ellering trying to, just in the washroom, getting the talc on his face and all that.
Fuck. My God.
There is this huge pop-up where, like, Akam pops Idris up over his head into this Death Valley driver from Razor. Looked great.
They clearly saw the match before where Ilya did it.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that, we could do that.
Yeah. There's like this atomic drop knee combo strike from AOP.
Very cool. Look, I used to really not like these guys, but they had some cool offense in this match.
Blade comes in with some big drop kicks, goes for a conhilo, but gets caught. And then Idris goes for a suicide dive to take them out. But AOP throws Malik at Idris as he's in midair. Look, crazy nasty.
Yeah, Idris and Malik were really selling like Dolph Ziggler for these guys, like all over the place.
And then you had the super collider from AOP for the win. I thought this was really fun, and I want to see AOP just doing this reckless big man double team stuff, because I thought this was pretty fun here.
Look, Idris and Malik, like I said, they are great enhancement talent here in NXT. Like, eventually, I think their time will come, but they did the job of making Authors of Pain look actually menacing. Like, Idris was taking some crazy bumps here, and then that final catch where they caught both of them. Like, yeah, it looked pretty good. At that point in time, Booker T on commentary, Charmel, put the kids to bed, honey. They don't need to see this tonight.
Yeah.
Because the guys are just destroying them. Which, he hates Idris and Malik.
So, I know. Yeah. It's so weird.
That's why I don't know.
I feel this is what Ridge needed to do. You know, this level of violence.
Yeah.
To, like, but not just at EDT. And then you've got Axiom and Fraser, who kind of stare down AOP. So we're going to that match. I think that's going to be really fun. If this is the kind of stuff AOP's doing,
yeah.
Fraser and Axiom, who can just like fly and bounce around these guys. I think this will be pretty fun.
Yeah. So it looks like it's week two that we're getting Axiom and Fraser versus Authors of Pain. So April 30th,
nice.
That Tuesday night. So yeah, I thought this was a fun match, and I kind of groaned when these guys came back to NXT and WWE, really. But so far, so good. And even Paul Ellering there. Yeah. Bless him.
Karrion Kross, not so much. We go back to dress shopping with Ariana Georgina. And Ariana says, in order to be a princess, you have to act and believe that you are a princess. And Grace believes that she will be one. And then she spots this green dress and loves it. And Gigi looks at it and just goes, I hate it. And she goes, oh, well, I want to make it my own. And Ariana's like, yes, make it your own. So she goes into the changing room. You hear some noises. And then she comes out holding a pair of scissors. And she's kind of cut a slit in this dress. So her fishnets are showing. She's got like a, I don't know where she found this black like ribbon from. But she's kind of make it like gothy.
Yeah.
And Ariana is horrified. And Gigi says, yes, I'll wear this out. And Ariana is paying. And Ariana asks if they take credit. And she has like 10 credit cards in her hand.
Yeah. Again, just not maybe. I didn't get any laughs out of me, but I'm assuming maybe, you know, some kids thought this was funny. But I just, it didn't hit for me.
I think Ariana is a very natural, like, performer. I just don't care for these kind of stories, and I don't care for any match that comes out of it involving Gigi Dolin, unfortunately.
I don't think it's going to lead to a match. I think it'll lead to them being a team.
Probably.
Or something, which doesn't make sense. We don't have tag titles down here, but like, whatever, be a team. But yeah, I don't necessarily hate their acting, but I just like you could have made it like about a bit more interesting of a story.
It's so much of the time, it's like there's the opportunity to do some funny stuff here, and it just it's not. I felt the same with, you know, Tiffany as the ranch hand for Fallon. It was like, come on, there's more fun you can have with this. If you're gonna waste my time with a dress shopping thing, try to make me laugh at least once.
You know? Dress shopping. Love it. Look, dress shopping can be nice.
Yeah.
But it wasn't tonight.
We go to Josh Briggs versus Ivar. Two meaty men slapping meat.
Okay, but this guy just said his ribs were broken.
His ribs are broken, yeah.
Would you wrestle if your ribs...
Like, he was cleared.
But your ribs are broken.
Well, it's wrestling, isn't it?
He
wants that North American title.
Wow. Like, ribs heal that quick? We had ribs for dinner, actually.
We did have
Shout out ribs.
Ribs
but are great. We didn't break our ribs. I did. But
rib, like, I haven't broken a rib, but I've, like, bruised. Severely bruised my ribs before, and it hurts. Like, it's hard to breathe.
Right.
Like, it's not nice. Obafemi's watching on from backstage. We know it's a new era as he's watching the TV like a normal person.
Yes.
Yeah. Although he's still standing up, I think. Although we sometimes stand and watch TV, don't we?
Yeah, sometimes.
Ivar starts quick out the gate. He's doing like his cartwheels and barrel rolls out the way of Briggs. Briggs then catches him with a sidewalk slam, followed up by a splash, but starts selling his ribs. There's then like a spinning sidewalk slam from Ivar, followed by a tiger driver for a two count. Briggs then leaps off the apron with a diving shoulder block, goes for a powerbomb, but can't get Ivar all the way up. And then Ivar hits the doom salt for the win, looking like he lands on Briggs's face here. And Briggs is like clutching at his face after.
So yeah.
I hope he's okay. Cause that's a big man landing on your face.
I was going to say, like, it did look like this dude's whole leg smashed into his head.
Yeah.
And I think back to anytime some people do moonsaults and land wrong. I always think to the shooting star to Chavo, I think, from like Billy Kidman or Paul London or something like that. And like similar, where the knee is what like smashes the
face. Recently with Sammy Guevara and Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope he's all right and nothing comes from that. And like I said, he had, you know, whether it was kayfabe wise or not, bruised ribs and then gets a guy's knee in the face, like kind of what's up.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
I thought this was pretty fun. I think they've built this like meaty men division pretty nicely. Like all of them are so athletic and doing stuff that you're not really used to seeing men of their sizes do. I thought this was another really fun Ivar match who's just been a bit of a MVP of TV in the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, he really has. Like, shout out. I can't wait for War Machine to get back together, but definitely been loving what I've seen from him. But loved Booker T also going off about how much he loves Obafemi. On my mama, on my hood, Obafemi is the best, apparently.
Oba is then asked about Ivar's victory, and he just goes, interesting. And as Kincaid is about to like throw back to Vic and Booker, we hear a noise, and we see that Oro Mensah's been taken out by the door.
Oh, no. Again. Was it Ridge?
No, it's Oba.
No, but Ridge, he just
Ridge
got
probably. Yeah, Ridge crying somewhere because he...
Oh, I opened the door.
Oh, no.
Okay, so maybe because Noam Dar beat Dijak, he should get a shot at the North American title, right? So,
sorry, Noam Dar should?
Well, he beat Dijak.
I mean, this we're getting Ivar.
Sorry, so on night two is Ivar and Obafemi, but yeah. I don't imagine Ivar beats him, right?
I would think Dijak and Noam maybe have a rematch.
Okay.
And then that sets up probably Dijak and Oba after the Ivar,
okay,
which is
right.
What I'm thinking.
Right.
They then run down the matches for night one of Spring Breakin'. We've got the NXT Women's Triple Threat match with Lyra Valkyria, Tatum Paxley, and Roxanne Perez.
So this is for next week.
This is next week. Sol Ruka versus Blair Davenport in an ODQ match.
Did they call it a beach brawl?
Oh, did they?
Is this going to be a beach brawl match?
Okay.
Let's see what that... It usually doesn't mean that great in NXT, like
no.
The playground match and all that, but... A beach brawl.
It'll be a bunch of plastic stuff.
I'm excited.
Buckets and spades.
Yeah.
No Quarter Catch Crew versus the
Family.
Did you
say bucket and spades?
Bucket and spades.
Wow. That's, I don't even, I've never heard, I know what you mean.
What would you say?
Like a bucket and a shovel? Shovel and a bucket?
Okay.
You mean a shovel, right?
Yeah, a spade.
Spade's a spade.
Yeah,
I guess.
No Quarter Catch Crew versus the Family in a 6-man tag. And we've got the NXT Underground contract signing. We then throw to a video hyping up the main event. It's showing all the stuff leading into Stand and Deliver. Got a TikTok video of Trick Williams seeing a set, like street saxophone player, like a busker.
Yeah.
Playing his theme.
This guy was all over town. He was featured all over because he was wearing the Cody shirt. And I think the Cody Kingdom one got shared like a bunch. But he was hanging out all weekend in Philly doing the theme. But this video went around where he happened to be doing Trick Williams' song, or, you know, happened as Trick kind of made his entrance to the building. So it was pretty sweet. This was great.
Yeah.
This video for this match was awesome, actually. Like, whoever put this video.
I thought so.
Yeah, very, very on point.
Then showing the highlights from Stan and Deliver. And
Wale Mania.
Leading it. Yep.
I even had shout out to Wale Mania. None of us went to Wale Mania this year, so we weren't there to see this. But apparently they kind of had a bit of an angle, like, with Mello being like, yeah, screw you, Trick. Like, get out of here.
We then have Mello being interviewed just before making his entrance, and he says, "This beef ain't over until I say it is, and you won't be coming out of this in one piece and won't be walking out as champion next week." And we go to our main event. It's a steel cage match where it's no escape. It's pinfall or submission only, which I prefer.
Yeah, of course.
Makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Mello comes to ring wearing a Trick Williams shirt.
Uh-oh.
And we go to the match. He's got his whole like security entourage with him. And one of them passes in, which Booker called a billy club, like a long baton, which Mello starts smacking Trick with. After the break, Mello's in control. He's got Trick sandwiched between the ropes and the cage, and he keeps on running and kind of hitting splashes against him when Trick finally drops, causing Mello to go crashing into the cage. Trick then makes a comeback. They're fighting on the top rope, and Trick delivers an avalanche bookend.
Very nice.
Which looks very sweet.
Yeah, awesome.
Followed by his big leg lariats and a flapjack. He's now throwing Hayes into the cage. That rhymed. Hayes then jumps off the top rope and gets caught with another big bookend. His bookend's really nice, actually.
Yes.
Looks good. There's then a coat break from Mello, followed by a big knee to the head. And now they're fighting on the second rope, trading chops. And then Mello tries for this like avalanche bulldog, but Trick just like puts his hands down and stops it and is like, nah, to Mello. There's then a big spinning boot from Williams. And then this is where Mello's security all start climbing the cage. And Williams is fighting all of them off. And then one of them opens the door. And this dude was pretty big.
Yeah. I like way bigger than some of
the other security.
So we're like, okay, he had a chair as well.
Yeah, he has a chair. But Williams boots the chair into this guy's face, and then Mello has the chair as he's closing the door, and Trick goes charging at him, hitting his big Trick knee to the chair, to the face of Williams for the win.
Yeah, a fun match. Didn't get to like maybe like another level or another gear, but it had the crowd entertained. I was pretty entertained. It almost could be like somewhat of a send-off to Carmelo, maybe. They kind of did that quietly with Braun after last week. So I wonder if this is kind of the same thing. But it didn't get to like kind of the extremes. And I kind of, very similar to their match at Stand and Deliver, just now it was in a cage and it was kind of safe. But they didn't necessarily do anything that warranted it being, you know, the steel cage sucker. So
It's something NXT seems to do quite a lot, is where the main event just never really gets as much time as it should. Like, I feel like the opening match tends to get, like, longer. Like, I thought Dijak and Noam kind of had more time. I enjoyed it. I possibly preferred this to the Stand and Deliver match. But in a way, I don't think these two have particularly great chemistry.
Yeah, as much as we love them.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
And, like, I got into this one a bit more because there were more moves and more kickouts, but I wouldn't say these two particularly gel together well, not to the extent that we've seen like Trick, and Trick is still pretty green. Like, I get why he's in the position. He's so over, he's so like charismatic, and he's shown great improvements, but he's not in ring at the level of a Mello yet. But I think his chemistry with Ilya worked way more than these two did. Not that saying this was a bad match. I just think I've been slightly underwhelmed by both of their matches so far.
I totally agree. I felt that way at Stand and Deliver, and definitely felt this way here tonight. But not a bad match by any means, but just didn't get to like even some of the matches earlier on this show, to be honest. So yeah. I do. So at the end, they have the standoff with him and Ilya, which sets up for next week. If Trick loses, he has to leave NXT, but if he wins, he is NXT champion. So yes. I imagine we get a title change, to be honest. Like maybe that's what they just go with and that's it. Cause I really don't know what we do with Ilya beyond this. I don't know if Melo sticks around either. That could all, you know, become apparent in the next little
bit. Yeah. Kind of we went through it last week, but you can go two ways. You can either call up the two as a feud, you know, Melo costs Trick the title and his NXT career, and then you have these two feud on SmackDown, or you just go with Trick. Like I think Trick winning makes more sense because I don't see who the challengers left for Ilya are at this point, and I think Ilya is way overdue a call up, and I think Trick could do with another year in NXT to just keep improving in ring.
Yeah.
Overall, I think this might have been one of my favorite NXTs for a long time. I thought the wrestling quality was really good. I really enjoyed Dijak Noam Dar. I really enjoyed that Javon Evans Ilya Dragunov match, and I thought the AOP squash was pretty fun as well. And you know, like for its faults, I did enjoy the main as well. So I thought this was a pretty solid show this week.
I totally agree. I thought there was some good wrestling, which, you know, kept me entertained, especially hot off the gate with Dijak and Noam Dar. But my highlight of the show was Javon Evans and Dragunov from front to back. That was a whole lot of fun and can't wait to see where he goes in NXT. But yeah, overall, really fun. Even the cage match still was good. Sol Ruka and Lola Vice was also good. So there was some stuff on that I was like really getting into. So, and then there was dress shopping, but that's okay. Yeah. You know, you take some and that's just what NXT is. And I totally understand. So, the next few weeks should also be good. Like we mentioned, the spring break-in next week is Soul and Blair Beach Blast and the title match and two title matches. So like, the next few weeks should also be pretty good with some wrestling. So can't wait for spring break-in.
Absolutely.
Break-in.
Ripping chicken.
It sounds weird every time they say someone says it. Spring breaking. Yeah. Just spring break. I guess you can't because that's Joey Janela's thing.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, that's what we thought. Every week we throw up a feedback thread on the Poison Rana Facebook group. So let's see what you guys thought.
Yes, we go to Corey, who writes in. Corey H says, largely a pretty good episode of NXT. It does make me wonder what is going to be on night two of spring break-in because night one is so stacked. As far as predictions, I think Trick wins the title and Roxanne retains. Lyra isn't winning it back, and it would be a huge mistake for Tatum to win it as she is still very green in the ring. Not that it matters anyway, since Julia is supposed to have her debut match at Heatwave, and it'll be for one of the titles. Money is on the big one, though, and I don't think she'll lose her debut match. Also, any thoughts on Rossi Ogawa's new promotion, Marigold? We kind of mentioned that off the top, and hopefully
just checking it out once it starts.
I always thought that it sounded like this guy wanted to do that, but he did show up looking like a pimp. Like in that outfit, I'm like, dude, what do you? All right, Marigold with the yellow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, all right, okay. Weird. But also, Corey mentions here that night two of spring break, maybe Melo interferes in that match next week, which then causes the triple threat for the week after, is something okay. They could do as well.
Gotcha.
Possibly, because we have been toying with that idea for months.
And then we go to Magan, who says, the cage match was slightly better than what Trick and Melo produced at Stand and Deliver. I expected some fuckery, but it doubled down on Trick emphatically closing the book on Melo, who's clearly main roster bound. Javon Evans getting his Cena in 0-2 moment against Ilya Dragunov in his second ever match on NXT TV was a delight. Speaks a lot about how the powers that be view this kid's upside. Dijak and Dar was a strong opener, marred by another metaphor interference finish. With part one of spring break-in looking so loaded, what will the main event be for part two?
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, Ilya beats Trick. Trick has to leave NXT, and then Javon Evans says, I almost beat you, Ilya. Give me a shot. I don't know. Maybe it does go to that triple threat instead. I'm not sure, but yeah. But also, Magan, seeing the comparisons, I think I think that was done on purpose to really get this kid over. So thank you, Corey and Megan, for writing in there. And thank you, everyone. I see you peeps in the YouTube chat as well. We are live after NXT every Tuesday night here on the Post Wrestling YouTube page. And the replay is always up on YouTube as well. So hello, anybody who stayed up with us tonight on Tuesday. We will be climbing the CN Tower this weekend. We'll be back next week to talk about some spring break-in. So definitely excited about that. So tune in for the next 2 weeks on Tuesdays because you'll get some good wrestling and we'll be there. So we got a lot going on. But yeah, this Sunday, climbing the CN Tower, we're going to be busy.
Postwrestling.com/WWF. And remember, once you're on there, click David.
No, I have zero. Someone has to give me at least $1. If everyone out there gives me $1, I could, you know, bump these numbers up. I got rookie numbers right now. I've been such a nice guy being like, hey, everyone, I've been sharing it so much and realized I was sharing just the generic thing. So just please go to my thing. Click Brayden, please. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening and supporting. And hey, you want to listen and support Davey and Brayden? Well, you can. Patreon.com/PoisonRana. Our Philly month was full of shows. We did Rocky. We did WrestleMania 15, NXT TakeOver Philly. Up next, turn 6, right? So we are 6 years old now. So support us. It's $5 a month to get access to hundreds of podcasts, movie reviews, wrestling reviews, and it's all on the Patreon. And that's how you can support your boys. You can also support your boys by going to chop-tees.com and checking out all the post-wrestling merch, but also the Poison Rana merch, including hats and t-shirts and maybe even more stuff coming soon. So
you know what the 6-year anniversary gift is? Iron.
What?
You know, you get like, for anniversaries, it's like a different thing. It's like paper, wood, and then it goes up to like diamond and ruby and sapphire.
Oh, well, how interesting is that? Because I got this iron looking.
I know.
Terry Funk.
I know.
Branding iron over here. Shout out to Dickie Bird, aka, and shout out, I guess, to the Lapsed Fan Boys, because Dickie gave it to Pollock and Pollock gave it to me, and now it's in our house, and one day he'll get it back.
No, it's our anniversary.
It's our anniversary, and iron sharpens iron.
For our 6 years. Perfect.
Wow.
That's how we're justifying not giving.
Is that legit? Legit? You're not making that up?
No.
Wow.
I just Googled what gift is 6 year anniversary, and it's iron.
You're not getting it back, John.
Last year was something shit. last year was wood.
Oh.
What's next year?
That's every day.
Next year is copper or wool.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, they're not great.
It sucks, dude.
Yeah.
I thought 7 would be cooler. Anyways, thanks everyone out there for listening and supporting. Again, check out all the other shows and follow us at Poison Rana Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And I myself am at the Bray D.
And I am at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And fuck you, OJ Simpson.
Ahoy!